Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know where the phrase came from, but I don't know when it began to be used in its current form. Because I don't remember it being used in its current form 30 years ago. The whole idea of having a place at the table. Now, I understand the eating part of being at the table, but in terms of business meetings and different things like that, in terms of negotiations, in terms of, you know, higher power things that take place, that phrase, wanting to have a place at the table, has kind of come into vogue. And it is, of course, about wanting to be there when certain things are taking place, wanting to have a voice when negotiations are happening, wanting to be a part of whatever happens to be going on. When I was a mere sprite, we used to spend our holidays mostly at my grandparents' house up on Roseville, looking over that mega metropolis of Brady's Bend, Pennsylvania. And we would all gather there, not only my immediate family, but my aunts, uncles, and cousins, and so there was always a minimum of 18. Now, that might not seem to be a big crowd, but you need to understand that the house was formerly a mining supervisor's house, so it wasn't exactly huge. And so when you try to cram 18 people in a 12 by 12 dining room, it doesn't work very well. And so, as many of you understand from your childhood, creativity comes into play, and a secondary table is set up, most commonly known as the kids' table. So in this case, the kids' table was in the living room. Kids' table is a great place to be because the kids' table had all the same rules as the big table, but the nice thing about the kids' table is there wasn't anybody there to enforce those rules. So there was no quit squirming. There was no get your elbows off the table. There was no you're eating too fast. There was no you're talking too loud. There was no you're talking too much. There was no eat your vegetables. There was none of that. In fact, the only rule that really came into play was when the noise coming from the kids' table was greater than the noise coming from the adult table. And then we were told we needed to be quiet. But the funny thing about being at the kids' table was it left everybody there with this sense of want and yearning for that moment when they would be grown up enough to be at the big table. It's one of the greater incongruities of life, if you think about it. Because why would you want to be at the big table when you're a child? Because when you get promoted to that big table, or when there's not enough of your relatives around and you have to sit at the big table, all those rules are once again in place. And not only that, you're reminded that your role at the kids' table still has a juvenile consequence to it, that you can't be an adult, that you need to just sit there and eat quietly while everyone talks. But it's strange, because despite that fact, everybody at the kids' table wanted to be at the adult table. In today's Old Testament lesson, God wants to put Jeremiah at the big table, at the really, 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 really big table. God wants to make Jeremiah a prophet to the world. I get the idea Jeremiah wasn't so keen on this, because he does what all the good prophets of yore have done in their story of God calling. start coming up with a list of excuses of why this isn't a good idea. This isn't going to work. You know, I'm just a boy. I can't talk. I don't know what to do. I'm not qualified. I didn't go through job training for this. You can't expect me to go out there into this world and do these things. And so God says, well, yeah, you can. But it wasn't, I don't really think, this whole kind of nice, gentle, paternal conversation that God had with Jeremiah. You know, when we talk about translating things, sometimes things get lost in the translation. And while we read Jeremiah, it sounds like God reaches out and pets Jeremiah on the head and says, it's okay, I'll be there, I'll tell you what to do. But the reality is, in terms of the Hebrew that's used in the language, because trust me, I'm really good at languages. English is my second language. I don't even know what my first one is. But in the Hebrew, when Jeremiah says, I'm just a boy, God doesn't kindly respond. God kind of erupts. Don't you tell me that again, that you're just a boy. I don't want to hear it. And that whole idea of what God does with him in terms of touching his mouth, it isn't just putting his hands to his lips, because it's more of a jolt, a zap. At the very least, it's kind of when you rub your feet against the carpet and you come up to somebody and you touch them, they're going to get that zap on their lip, or maybe even a slap across the face. But it was urgent, and it was very clear. You're not telling me no. It's that whole process of growing up. Everybody seems to want to grow up. You want to grow up, don't you? And why do you want to grow up? You want to grow up because you don't want people telling you what to do. You want to have the freedom to make your choices because you're sick and tired of all these adults who think they know so much telling you what to do with your life. I know my life better than anybody else's. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. So leave me alone. Let me live my life. Isn't that why we want to grow up? So we can be the masters of our own destiny. It's funny, because as soon as we grow up, we kind of discover we're not so masterful after all. And when we grow up, what we find is this sense of responsibility that comes with being who we are. Because God blesses us. And as we grow, God gives us ability to do all kinds of different things, but with that ability comes responsibility. And much like the relationship that Jeremiah has with God, we too have this relationship with God that calls us out to do things that we might not be so keen on doing. Calling us to be places that we might not want to be, causing us to do things that we might not want to do, causing us to serve in ways that we'd rather not serve. Because God puts us at the big table. You know, the one thing that God told Jeremiah was, I knew you before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye. And you're part of my plan. What we discover in life is the fact that we too are part of that plan. That plan that might call us to do things that we might not consider, that plan that might place opportunities before us to be able to serve, that plan that calls us out of our little comfort zone to make us do the things that we need to do when God calls us to do them. You see, we have a place at the big table too. It is at that big table that God calls us forth to do the things that we need to do. That God challenges us in ways that we might not even imagine to be able to reach out to a world in need. And with those callings comes the blessings that we need, giving us the ability to do whatever it is that God calls us forth to do. Even the things that we don't think we can accomplish, God gives us what we need to get the job done. And while God might not be smacking us across the face like he did with Jeremiah, God nonetheless is persistent. Because with his word, what we find is there's that constant drip, 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 drip. Okay, I'll do it. Because like Jeremiah, for us, God doesn't do very well taking no for an answer. If you don't think that's true, consider me standing here before you. Don't think about it too much. Nonetheless, God calls us, as God called Jeremiah, to serve, to share, and to love. And if you don't think God won't take no for an answer, then you might want to ask Jeremiah. He's got a different story. Amen.